Returning to Philippians chapter 4. And we will this morning, with the Lord's help, be considering the words of verse 8 and verse 9. Last Lord's Day morning, we were dealing with the subject of worry. Worry is something which afflicts many people, including God's people. And Paul has told the Christians at Philippi not to worry, saying to them in as many words, you don't need to worry. For he said unto them, be careful for nothing. Or as it is in the original, don't be full of care. He then goes on to say to the believers how worry may be overcome. He tells them that they don't need to worry because they have the presence of the Lord with them. We noted that in those words. The Lord is at hand, verse 5. Or the Lord is near. Or the Lord is even at your elbow. So why worry when the Lord is near? Or the Lord is standing beside us? He then tells them that they don't need to worry. Or they will not worry about things if they pray to the Lord. For there in verse 6, Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If we have something that's upon our hearts, something that causes us great anxiety and worry, Paul says, well, you don't need to carry that burden. Take your burden to the Lord in prayer. Pray about the matter. Indeed, he says, pray about everything. Those little nagging worries that upset us and take away sleep from our eyes at night. Paul says, pray about those things. Leave your burden with the Lord. Even as David said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55, verse 22. And then the apostle tells the saints that this plague of worry may be overcome because of the protection of the Lord. Paul says that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep is the word garrison, shall stand guard over your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And the Lord's peace will stand guard, protecting our hearts and our minds from those troubling thoughts that disturb us so much. And since it is the thoughts of the mind that cause worry, there is something that we can do to help ourselves. Paul tells us that instead of filling our minds with troubling, worrisome thoughts, Paul here tells us to fill our minds with spiritual thoughts. For he says in verse 8, finally, brethren, now he's still dealing with the same subject. He's not going on to another subject. Still dealing with the matter of worry. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, as opposed to those things that you think about that causes worry. Paul says, think on these things. Things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good. These are the things you want to think about. And whenever you think on these things, when you fill your mind with such spiritual and heavenly things, well, then you'll not be thinking about those things that trouble you and worry you. And here then is the cure for worry. Or, as we might name our message this morning, waging war on worry. And Paul is telling the believers at Philippi how they might wage war on worry and win that war. And since worry cannot do anything to change our circumstances, we would do no better then than to fill our minds with these things that will help to bring us peace and tranquility and save us from worrying. First of all, we have here Paul's spiritual exercise. Paul's spiritual exercise, it is often what goes on in the mind that leads to days and nights of worry. We know that to be true. Something happens to us during the day, something affects the family, and we go to bed at night and we lie awake maybe for hours thinking over this particular problem, and we'll think it over and over, and we'll come up with all kinds of scenarios. What if this happens? Then that will happen, and something else will happen. And in our minds, we have painted a very dark, hopeless picture. Paul here has a lot to say about the mind of the Christian. Indeed, he applies much of his teaching to the mind as well as to the heart. He mentions the mind in Philippians 1 verse 27, again in chapter 2 verses 2 and 5, once more in Philippians 3 and verse 15 and verse 16, and here in Philippians 4 and verse 7. He's dealing with the mind. In fact, the word mind in verse 7 of chapter 4 is the word for thoughts. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your thoughts. Those troubling thoughts, those worrying thoughts, the peace of God shall, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your thoughts through Christ Jesus. And so here we have then, first of all, with regard to the spiritual exercise, here we have Paul's recommendation. He's recommending to the believers that they think upon these things. Now, if you were to ask 100 people for advice and ask them how they would advise you to overcome worry, I'm sure you would get 100 different answers. Well, here is Paul's advice. Are Paul's recommendation. He gives this list. And then he says, think on these things. He speaks there about what is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. He says, think on these things. Here's his recommendation. That word, think. Think on these things. That word means to ponder or meditate. And so Paul says, ponder these things. Fill your mind with these things. Things that are true and honest and just and so forth. Fill your mind with such things. Ponder them. Meditate upon these holy things. How often do we take time to meditate upon holy things? In Genesis 24 and verse 63, we read there that Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. Maybe that is one of the reasons why Christians worry so much. We don't draw aside from the hustle and bustle of the day. We don't draw aside to ponder and to meditate upon the things of God. We maybe read the word in the morning because we know it's what we ought to do, but do we meditate upon the word? Do we think about what we have read? The psalmist did, Psalm 119 and verse 23. He would meditate upon the Lord's word. How often do we take time to meditate upon the Lord's works? Psalm 77 and verse 2, you read there about the psalmist meditating upon the Lord's mighty works. Pondering, thinking about such things. How often do we think about and meditate about the Lord himself? How often do we think about the Lord during the day? Just thinking about him. Filling our minds with those things pertaining to the Lord Jesus. Indeed, we are told to give time to meditation. In 1 Timothy, we read in chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attendance to these things. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Listen. Meditate upon these things. What things? Reading and doctrine. The things Paul spoke about there in verse 13. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that they, profiting, may appear to all. So here's Paul telling the young Timothy to take time to meditate upon God's word, upon holy things. Yet how often do we really do that? Do we meditate upon and ponder such things? You recall what the Lord told Joshua after the death of Moses, and Joshua was to take up the mantle of Moses and lead the children of Israel into the land of promise. The Lord said to Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. There's no mention of worry there. Whenever Joshua would fill his mind with the things of God, with the word of the Lord, and he would take time to meditate on those things, then he wouldn't be filling his mind with worrying thoughts. And what will this meditation lead to? Will it lead to peace of mind? Of course it will. For we read in Psalm 1, we're familiar with Psalm 1, blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is what the Lord is telling us to do. This is the teaching of Scripture. It leads to this blessedness and this happiness. No stress or worry. That's Paul's recommendation. But then we notice here also who Paul is addressing. He's addressing the righteous. He's addressing God's people. For he says there, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. We must give attention to whom the apostle is speaking. Finally, brethren. Speaking to his brethren in Christ. Those who have been redeemed, those who have been saved by grace. As we noted before, that word finally means as for the rest. And you can see the reason for the word being here in verse 8. Paul has been dealing with the matter of worry. He has given advice how to overcome worry. And then he says, as for the rest. I want to tell you something else about this subject, about this matter of worry. As for the rest, brethren, whatsoever things are true. I've already told you what you ought to do. I've already told you about the Lord's presence. I've already told you that you ought to pray about these matters. I've already told you about the peace of God that will keep your hearts and your minds. Now for the rest. What is the rest? Think upon these things. So Paul, speaking to his brethren. And this was an exercise that could only be carried out by his brethren. This was an exercise that could only be carried out by those who were righteous. For how could the ungodly, how can the natural man fill his mind with those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report? The ungodly, the unsaved man doesn't fill his mind with such things. The Lord himself has told us what the unsaved or the unregenerate man fills his mind with. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord tells us what is in the mind of the natural man. In Matthew 7 and verse 20, the Lord says, whereby their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And the Lord is speaking there about those who do iniquitous things. The other reference is in Mark chapter 7. And this is probably the verse of the portion I was after. Mark 7 and verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. So it's not pure thoughts or thoughts of that which is true and wholesome and holy. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. The unregenerate man has his heart and his mind filled with these things. And with all sort of things, those kind of things going through the mind of the unregenerate individual, it's no wonder they worry. It's no wonder they are troubled. But Paul is speaking here to those who have been regenerated by the Spirit of God, and to those who ought to fill their minds with things that are true, things that are just, things that are of good report. For when the spirit of man thinks upon these things, Paul says he will have peace within instead of worry. And when earthly thoughts come into our minds, if we fill our minds then with these things, it will drive out the earthly thoughts, and we will then be thinking more about that which is true and honest and pure and so forth. Let us then say with the psalmist, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We fill our minds with those things that are acceptable to the Lord. I believe will drive out worry. We will overcome. We will conquer worry. And here you have, thirdly, the remedy. The recommendation is given to the righteous, and now Paul highlights the remedy for worry. Wrong thoughts can lead to wrong feelings. And before long, the heart and mind are being pulled apart. And we are tormented with worry. Paul sets out in great detail the things that we ought to be thinking about that will overcome worry. We may ask, how can we focus on thoughts that are so spiritual and wholesome while in a world of such immorality and corruption? How can the Christian think on these things? Things that are true and honest and pure and of good report and so forth. How can the believer focus on such things? Indeed, where might we go to find such holy things to think upon them? Well, for me, there's only one place that we can go to. Rather, there's only one person we can go to. For you see, whenever you think about that which is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, you think of Christ. And I believe that's what Paul is about here. If we focus our minds on Christ, if we fill our minds with thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe we can keep worry at bay. I believe we can keep worry out of our minds and out of our hearts. Remember what the prophet said, Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And once again, that word mind. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind," the word mind is the word thought. "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose thoughts are stead on thee." You can see it all ties in together. This is what Paul is speaking about. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." Notice how he finished the previous verse. Verse 7, he says, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's where you find peace, in Christ Jesus. And if you think on Christ, you'll find those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good. You'll find them all in Jesus Christ. The psalmist agrees with this. Listen to what the psalmist has said. "My meditation of him, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I shall be glad." No sign of worry there. If we meditate on him. And when you think about those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, you will find those things in Christ Jesus. We're meditating on Christ. Paul gives a list of 6 things here which we will find in Jesus Christ if we think on him. In a world of lying and cheating and deception and fraud, we can find peace when we think upon the one who is true. Where do you find truth in this world? The word, his word is true. His witness is true. His ways are true. He is the true vine. He is the true shepherd. He is the true bread from heaven. He is to us a true friend. He is a true shepherd. He is a true strength and a true help. Everything about Christ is true. And Paul says, think on these things. Think upon Christ. Think about what you see in him. David said, "My lips shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches." Meditating upon the Lord, what does it lead to? David tells us, joy and thanksgiving. There's no worry in these words, because David has filled his mind with thoughts of his Lord. And when we are told to think upon whatsoever things are honest, that leads us directly to Christ again. That word honest is a word that means venerable or grave. The word is used in Titus 2 and verse 2 with regard to the aged men in the congregation. They are to be looked up to. They are venerable men, spiritual, godly men in the congregation. They are to be looked up to. That the aged men be sober, grave, same word, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. In other words, one who is looked up to, respected and revered. The word is used for Christ. So let us get our eyes off those things that worry us and lift up our eyes to Christ and let us reverence Him and revere Him. And when we're taken up with Christ, we'll not be taken up with those things that worry us. And Paul goes on and says, whatsoever things are just, everything about Christ is just. That is one of His names. That's what He's called. He's called just. Peter in Acts 3 verse 14 said, but ye denied the Holy One and the just. Speaking about Christ. He's the Holy One and He is the just. And desired a murderer to be granted unto you. So He is just. That's His name. And His name is who He is. Every name of Christ tells us who He is. Tells us what He is. And Christ is just. He'll always do right. He'll always do right by His children. He'll always do right by His church. We don't need to worry. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Don't need to worry. The Lord will do right. The Lord will do right by us. He's not going to do us wrong. And when the dark thoughts come into our minds, Paul says, whatsoever, think upon whatsoever things are pure. It is not difficult to find purity in Christ, for He is all purity and He's all holiness. It's these thoughts that Satan from time to time puts in our minds. Things that would worry us and trouble us. But when we think upon Christ, we think upon that which is pure and holy. And when we think on such things, we're no longer troubled. Whatsoever things are lovely, think upon those things that are lovely. Some will tell us today, whenever you're anxious or troubled, just sit down and think about a beautiful sunset. Or sit down and just think about a beautiful flower. Your anxiety will go away. Well, I don't know about that. But one thing I do know, if we sit down and think about the loveliness of Christ, that will do something for us. That's for sure. That will bring peace to our hearts and to our minds. For He is lovely. Everything about Him is lovely. The bride in the Song of Solomon had a dark cloud hanging over her mind, and she went out into the streets and spoke to the daughters of Jerusalem, describing her beloved. And she finished off her conversation with the daughters of Jerusalem by saying, her beloved is altogether lovely. Let's think about the loveliness of Christ. Let's meditate and ponder the loveliness of Christ. He is altogether lovely. He's the fairest of the fair. And on Him alone through life I can depend. Oh, all language fails completely when I try to tell the world of the loveliness of Christ, my Lord and friend. Oh, believer, let us give our hearts and minds and thoughts over to viewing the loveliness of Jesus Christ. And that mountain of worry will be reduced to a plain. And Paul says, think upon those things that are of good report. And all that we know about Christ, all that we find in Him is well spoken of. We can give a good report. We can give a good report regarding His love, a good report regarding His mercy, His grace, His kindness, His patience, His tenderness, His peace. We can give a good report. Think on these things. Meditate upon these things. And Paul then closes by saying, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, Paul says, I have given you a list. But he's saying there's much more in Christ. Look for yourself. Look to the Lord yourself. And whenever you find virtue and praise, something to praise God for in Christ, then think on those things. There's much more in Him for you to think about. Meditate. Let us, believer, take time to meditate upon the Lord. Meditate upon Him. Think upon Him, upon that which is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and a good report. Think on Him. I just reading Dr. Bonner this morning, and Dr. Bonner said, think upon the Lord while you can. Think upon the Lord while you can, and He will think upon you when you can't. There are those today in nursing homes, and you know how their minds have gone. We think upon the Lord while we can, and He'll think upon us when we can't. Very quickly, you have Paul's spiritual example. For Paul said then in verse 9, those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul's setting himself up as an example. You look at the ministry and the life of Paul as recorded in the epistles and in Acts. And I believe you will see that Paul was a man who wasn't given to worry. You've only to read through Philippians. And remember, he wrote this letter from prison. And yet again and again, Paul speaks about rejoicing. Now, Paul's rejoicing. He's most certainly not worrying. And so what kind of life did Paul live? That he was able to carry on his work for God and suffer so many things and yet not worry. What was his life like? Paul tells us, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. The things that you've learned from me. The things that you've received from me. The things that you've heard me preach. The things that you've seen in me. You follow. You do those things. And what does he say? The God of peace shall be with you. Paul's saying, the God of peace is always with me. That's why I don't need to worry. He speaks first of all about learning. Referring to his own ministry among them, Paul wants them to bring to mind the things that they had learned from his teaching. See, it's not just enough to hear the word, but we must learn from the word. Remember what the Lord said? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The Lord expects us to learn. To learn from him and to learn from his word. And the things we learn from the teachings of God's word will stand us in good stead when trial comes, when things happen and we're about to start worrying about these things. Why, if we only remember what we have learned from God's word. If only we can remember what we have learned over these past couple of weeks about worry. If we do what Paul tells us to do, if we are careful for nothing, if we pray to the Lord and bring everything to the Lord in prayer, if we know the Lord's peace will stand guard over our hearts and our minds, and if we apply that teaching and what we have learned to our own situation, will we not be cured of worry then? That's what Paul's saying here. What you have learned. What you have learned and received. What you have learned, take it to heart. Don't push it from you. But take it to heart. Paul, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7, spoke about those who were ever learning. And never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. They were always learning, but it was up here. There was nothing in the heart. And so it's learning and receiving. Receiving it into the heart, what we have learned. And then there's the listening. Paul says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard. What you've heard from me. We need to listen. We need to listen to the word. If we listen to the word, if we give ear to the word of God, what we learn from the word will again stand us in good stead. When trial and difficulties come, we'll be able to say, ah, yes, I remember. I remember hearing through the word preached what I ought to do in such circumstances. We apply the word then. The Lord Jesus said in Revelation 2 and 29, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And Paul rejoiced when he preached the word to the church at Thessalonica. They gave ear, and they received the word that Paul had preached unto them. In 1 Thessalonians we read in chapter 2, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard," they've been listening, and they received the word, "which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." If we listen and learn and receive, that word will work in us and will keep us from worry. And then there's the living. Paul says, what things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. He's saying to him, you see how I live. You see how I live. Now, if you live the same way, then you'll be like me. You'll not be full of worry. And the God of peace will be with you. Paul has already said in Philippians 3, verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me. What you have learned from my teaching, put into practice." Just as James 1, verse 22 has told us, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." What you've heard, put it into practice. When worry comes, put into practice what you've learned from the word of God. And you'll be able to keep worry at bay. Paul said, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Paul says, you can take my word for it. You can take my word for it. 2 Timothy 3:14. And you pause spiritual expectation. For he says, "And the God of peace shall be with you." Don't need to worry, because the God of peace shall be with you. He's already said, the Lord is at hand. The Lord's beside you. You don't need to worry. Now he says, "The God of peace shall be with you." You don't need to worry. He'll keep your heart and mind at peace. He'll be with you. For he is Emmanuel. He's God with us. And the calmness, we have the Lord, the God of peace, as our company. And he'll give us that calmness. The God of peace shall be with you. Waging war and worry, where does it end? In that verse 9, "The God of peace shall be with you." You've won the war. You've won the war against worry. Because the God of peace shall be with us. Praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Most loving and gracious Father, we pray that thy word, Lord, indeed will be written upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. But more than that, they'll be written in our hearts, placed in our hearts. That, Lord, we might remember these things that we have learned. We'll call them to mind when trial, difficulty, and problems arise that cause us to worry. O Lord, have us to bring to mind what we have learned. And the God of peace shall be with us. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other.